Right now it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz. It's time for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning at this time. We broadcast him also during the week and on the weekends. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always great to talk with him about food.
Da-da-da.
Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm happy it's cold. I really can't stand the heat, as everybody who listens to this program knows. So I'm very happy I can turn on the oven again. I can think of soup, although on the diet that I'm on, I haven't really thought about soup much lately. Although I did have miso soup last night. I discovered miso is very low in carbohydrates. In fact, I think I'm becoming the expert on foods that are low in carbohydrates, because even though I'm trying mainly to eat protein and fat, which supposedly will help me lose weight, we'll see. This will be a month on Thursday that I'm doing this, and I'm pretty strict. Anyway, I've been discovering vegetables, because I can't just eat meat and fat, or even fish and fat. I need to eat vegetables and fruit, in fact. So my only fruits are strawberries and watermelon, and in strict moderation, not the way I used to eat strawberries, which could be like, you know, a pint at a time. So artichokes, it ends up, are extremely low in carbohydrates. And how much artichoke can you eat, after all? I'm not about stand and clean artichokes, especially out-of-season artichokes at this time of the year. But on the recommendation of a friend, I tried canned artichokes. Now, I'm sure these are very widely available. I bought an Italian brand. Maybe it's ever so slightly better than... and I did, by the way, notice on at Gustiamo, which is this Italian website that you can buy really premium Italian food products, they were selling small jars of artichoke hearts from Pestum, from where Cecilia's farm is, in fact, a neighbor of hers, Maida, for $36, a little jar of artichoke hearts. I think I paid $3 for the can of six really plump, beautiful artichoke hearts. And they taste like almost nothing out of the can. So my friend said, what you have to do is salt them, oil them, and lemon juice them. I did that, and they were really quite nice with some tuna fish, you know, on the side of some tuna fish that I had, tuna fish salad. What else? And also, my physical therapist, who is a strict he calls himself a carnivore. He rarely eats even vegetables, and I keep telling him he's young enough. I keep telling him this is not healthy in the long run. He says, my wife keeps telling me that. Well, I said, you mean your wife may be right, and I'm sure she's right, actually. But he told me that spaghetti squash is, he thought, low in carbs, not trusting him, because I know that most hard shell or what we call winter squashes are actually high in carbs, although certainly not as high as a potato. But, in fact, spaghetti squash is very low in carbs. So we're going to try it today. It's not something that it's not one of my go-to vegetables, but since I can't have real spaghetti, and I'm going to make boneless, skinless chicken thighs with lemon and capers in butter on top of the stove, you know, saute the chicken. I'm not going to flour them. I'm just going to saute the chicken thighs, and when they're cooked, I'll pull them out of the pan. I'm going to add a splash of white wine. If I had chicken broth, I might add that. White wine has carbs. Wine has carbs. Beer has carbs. So that's a liquid to braise meat, which I did this week, is you have to think about it if you don't want to add carbohydrates to the meat. In any case, I'm going to saute the chicken, pull it out of the pan, add a splash of white wine, then add and caper. I'll put the capers in as soon as I pull out the chicken and let them cook a couple minutes in the butter. and then I'll add the white wine, and then I'll add the lemon juice, and then I'll put the chicken back in and turn it around, turn it in the sauce a little bit, let the sauce reduce a little bit, and that's going to be it. And whatever sauce I have will dress the spaghetti squash. In fact, I've been reading a lot about these kind of no-carbohydrate diets or low-carbohydrate diets, and they really tell you that if the more fat you eat, the better. So I'm into mayonnaise, but also butter. And initially, I was just going to toss the spaghetti squash with some butter and grated Parmesan cheese and see what that was like. And I may do, maybe I'll do half that way and half, depending on how much sauce I end up with in, with the chicken. This is always a problem for me. Like, I made braised meat this week, braised chuck. Get to that in a sec. And then what do you eat the gravy with? There's nothing to eat the gravy with. I mean, you want a potato, you want noodles, you want pasta, you want something. Rice, even. Not with a pot roast for me. But anyway, we had it with nothing, but I cooked the sauce down enough that it was okay because it was the sauce for the meat. So back to no-carb vegetables and fat. One of the things, essays I read about these diets said not only to increase, to help you increase the amount of fat you have in your diet, which should be like 70%, 65% of your calories a day. So figure that out. I think Marshall told me, I think you said you were on 1,800 calories a day?
1,200 to 1,800, yeah.
Yeah, 1,800. So a quick arithmetic here is if you, let's say, did even 60% of your calories from fat, it would still be under 800 calories or over 800. Well, I don't know. My math is not so good on while I'm trying to talk at the same time. But anyway, it's a lot of calories from fat. So they say use vegetables as a vehicle for fat, meaning either put something on, like oil or butter, or cook them in oil or butter. So one of the things I've done a couple times now is something I don't indulge in usually, is I cooked cabbage with a considerable amount of butter. Let's say a half a stick of butter for a half of a medium-sized head of cabbage, and you shred up the cabbage, put it in the pan with the butter, cover the... If you haven't just washed the cabbage and it still has moisture clinging to it, add a tablespoon or two of water to the pot so the cabbage starts steaming. And that's it. Now, I would say after 15 minutes, it's sweet and delicious. A little salt in there, too. After a half an hour, it's still sweet and delicious. And then after that, it starts caramelizing the cabbage, and it becomes something totally different and also reduces a lot in volume. So if you just want a nice, fresh vegetable... cabbage has practically no carbs, and you can add butter to it, and it's delicious. Today, actually, I'm going to cook some cabbage with pancetta.
Ooh.
I'll add my fat that way. Cook out some diced pancetta, and then add the cabbage and let it roll. I'm not sure exactly how long I'm going to cook it for. So I have a lot to cook today, even though I keep complaining that one of the things on this diet is that doesn't really... it limits the amount of cooking you can do. Well, I'm finding ways to cook anyway. I like to cook, and I think it's very important to cook. And my kvetch of the week is a TV commercial. I don't even know what it's for because I hate it so much. And but I know what it's for. I mean, I don't know the actual product name, but it's for... you order pre-prepared foods, pre-prepped foods. You know these systems where they send you a recipe and all the ingredients you need for the recipe, but everything's been cut and diced. Well, I have no objection to that, not for myself, but for other people who are very busy and want to do that. But the tagline on this commercial is, make time for more important things.
That's more
important?
You
know how
than
that
eating?
Gets to me?
Yeah, what's more important than eating?
What's more, you know, air is more important. Yeah. Love may be more important, but you need food to make love.
And to breathe.
And you still need food to breathe.
Breathe the
people
air, that's
just,
right.
You know, it reminds me of those, of the way Americans were sold on convenience foods in the 50s. As well as other household helpers, like the vacuum cleaner.
You know, Arthur.
And my mother had a stove that would go on and off automatically, and that stove was bought in 1951.
You know,
so
you're right.
They were making time for other things, but I'm not sure what they were making time for other than shopping.
You know what I don't like about these companies now? They've grown onto a third company. You not only get the food from them, but they sell you a special oven that you use it in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, there's companies now where there's a special oven that this food, and I'm sorry, you know, one thing Jill taught me many years ago, and I'm so glad she taught it, is to get off processed food. And you know what? It doesn't take much longer. Cook it yourself out of the ingredients you pick. You know, it's just...
Yeah, I'm going to take that a little further in that I even have problems ordering produce. Mm. I know where I can have meat delivered, but I've yet to find a place that's going to pick the produce the way I do. Or the way I want, or also it's a great activity. I get pleasure in going to the produce market. So I don't know. Anyway, I went to Whole Foods recently. Are there any Whole Foods around? One in Torrington, maybe?
No. And we're not a big enough market for Whole Foods. I think you have to go to Danbury to find a Whole Foods there, or West Hartford.
Oh, there must be one in Danbury, yeah. For sure. Anyway, I don't know about that because, you know, we have a Whole Foods in Park Slope. It's throughout, actually technically in Gowanus, the next neighborhood. But it's really, when it first opened, I hated it. I should not use that word. I did not go shopping there, except that I did admire their parking lot. They have the most amazing parking lot with heaters over every parking space. So when it's freezing and snowing, not that that's happened much lately, not around here anyway, the parking spaces are heated. But when Amazon took it over, it really did change, and the prices are not crazy at all. In fact, I very often find true bargains, meaning high quality at a low price at Whole Foods. And I usually rave about their meat and fish department. The fish department, I still rave about it. It's the best place to buy fish near me. But the meat, it can vary. And also, I'm old. I'm used to grain-fed meat. And I'm not always happy with grass-fed meat. And the other day at Whole Foods, they had on a half-price sale these nice, thick chuck steaks. So I bought a bunch of chuck steaks, inspired, by the way, by my physical therapist who was going home to cook a chuck roast the day I saw him last week. And he asked me, well, what he should do with it. He actually bought it, he told me, to grind it up for chop meat, but then he realized it really wasn't enough fat for ground beef. We both agree, you have to have a minimum, well, not minimum, but you need to have a 20% fat even could say minimum.
You're right. When I was younger, I went on a totally no-fat diet. I went on that fad with Oprah Winfrey. And you know what started happening? And it worked. I lost tons of weight. To this day, I started losing hair back then and found out that one of the essentials in your body needs, and that's why they stopped that diet, that is that your body needs a certain amount of fat. Without it, certain things happen to your body.
Well, let me say, I interviewed more than once a doctor who wasn't a doctor who promoted this diet. It'll come to me. It starts with a P. Pritikin, Dr. Pritikin, who had a PhD in something, but it wasn't in nutrition. In any case, I interviewed him a couple times, and he had the worst complexion. He was really bad skin, and that was from not getting any fat. So This high-fat diet, braised chuck roast or a pot roast or braised chuck steaks are perfect. The only problem is, as I mentioned earlier, most of the liquids that you would braise in, except for beef broth, but I didn't have any beef broth in the house, and I wasn't going to make any, and I sort of off of canned beef broth, although I would have bought a can for this. In any case, I didn't have beef broth, and I didn't want to add beer or wine, which I normally would do. So I was trying to make up a no-carb cooking medium, and I had this great tomato paste. So I stirred some, I measured it so I could tell you, 2 tablespoons of my great tomato paste into 2 cups of boiling water just so that it would dissolve more quickly. And that 4 1-pound chuck steaks. I browned them. I seared them, really. I didn't even put any oil in the pan. I cooked them as if I was making a steak, but I only seared them on high heat in the hottest black iron skillet for 2 minutes on each side, put them in a roasting pan so they would be in one layer, poured over this mixture of tomato paste and water, added, because that's what I had left, from a head of garlic, 8 nice-sized cloves of garlic, peeled, and in fact, I smashed them ever so slightly with the side of my knife to make the peeling easier, and so they really were slightly opened, let's say, cloves of garlic, and a considerable amount of pepper, at least a half a teaspoon of freshly ground pepper, and I had salted the meat earlier before I seared it, so I didn't add any salt at that point. And I put it in a 275-degree oven. It ends up, that probably wasn't high enough. I'm used to cooking meat at that temperature, but after 2.5 hours, these were still rock hard. So I put them back in the oven at 300 degrees. This is, by the way, covered with a piece of foil over the roasting pan. And I basted, I turned them and basted them after 1.5 hours, and then after 2.5 hours, and then it took at least, it was at least another hour at 300 degrees. So we're talking almost 4 hours to get this meat fork tender. And it was. And we ate some. I put it aside. I'd made it early in the day, and I reheated it for dinner. And then I reheated it again 2 days later. It was, the best time was the third reheating. It was really the second reheating. Again, I had it in the casserole, and it was covered with gravy. I did, by the way, skim the gravy. I have a gravy separator pitcher, you know, one of those things where you pour in the gravy, and the spout goes all the way to the bottom so the fat stays on top, blah, blah. I did the best I could in skimming this, but after all, I'm supposed to be eating more fat, so it was not a perfect skim, I realized. Once the meat had been refrigerated, you could see there was a nice little, a very thin layer of fat on the top, but I ate that too. We really enjoyed this with the gravy. Bob said, oh, can you make this again? The gravy is so great, and I'm going to try to reproduce this. What else did I do this? Oh, so the other thing is mayonnaise. Mayonnaise is a great fat, I have to say, and we can eat egg salad with mayonnaise, we can eat tuna with mayonnaise, and we can almost eat mayonnaise for its own sake, but that's disgusting. So I made, and I will make again today, some remoulade sauce from New Orleans. Now, in New Orleans, they have red remoulade and white remoulade, and this is a white remoulade, a recipe I got a zillion years ago, I don't know, it was at least 25, maybe 30 years ago, from a chef who is now super famous, John Folsey. He has, like, maybe the most expensive restaurant in New Orleans, French Quarter, but in those days, he only had one place. It was called Lafitte's Landing, and it was in Donaldsonville, Louisiana. That's when he gave me this recipe, which I've made for all these years, although I have revived the frequency of making it right now. So here it is. Now, there's one ingredient here that I actually ordered online because I couldn't find it in my local stores. I may have talked about this on the air before. And that's Creole mustard. But I have since discovered that any whole grain mustard is like Creole mustard. So you can use any whole grain mustard for this. So it's 3/4 cup of mayonnaise. Of course, gonna need. I say I use Hellmann's. 1/4 cup, although I've been looking for Duke's, which is a southern mustard and they use in New Orleans. 3/4 cup mayonnaise and 1/4 cup of whole grain mustard, Creole or not. 1/2 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce. 1/4, well, I don't know. Use to your taste, hot pepper sauce. Tabasco is fine, but there's a product called Louisiana Gold. I've never seen it in New York, but New Orleans, they use that a lot. There's another one, too, that they like in New Orleans. They say Tabasco isn't local. It's international. But so for me, Tabasco is fine. 1/4 cup of finely minced scallions, and use some of the green, of course, all of the white. For me, that was 2 large scallions. Sometimes they're really tiny. It could take 3. 2 tablespoons of finely minced celery. Just gives it a little texture and crunch. That's a zero-carb veg, by the way. 1 tablespoon, a full tablespoon, of finely minced garlic. 2 heaping tablespoons of finely chopped parsley. I mean, you could even say it's 1/4 cup of finely chopped parsley. And a couple of teaspoons, of lemon juice, like the juice of 1/2 lemon, or a little less even. Well, I like lemon. And 1 big pinch of salt. And you just mix that all up together. Now, the best thing is to make it in the morning for the evening, or make it one day and eat it the next day. And this is enough for, I would say, a minimum of 3 dozen shrimp. I don't know. That depends on the size of the shrimp. But I would say, you know, a pound, at least more than 1 pound of shrimp. So, I don't know. It's a lot of mayonnaise. And, oh, by the way, so I put the shrimp on a bed of shredded lettuce. If you got this in New Orleans, it would actually be iceberg lettuce. But in fact, we prefer romaine. So I do finely shredded romaine, then the shrimp, and then the gorgeous remoulade. And it would be great if I could have some crusty French bread with that, but I can't. My fetch of the week was that commercial, which really irritates me. I have to turn it off as soon as I see it. But I must say I'm very saddened and sad about the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who went to my high school, James Madison High School on Bedford Avenue and Avenue R, in the Marine Park sort of section of Brooklyn, which when I was growing up was solidly middle class, if not upper middle class, in fact. There were some gorgeous homes along Bedford Avenue, multi-million-dollar homes now. It certainly is one of the best neighborhoods in Brooklyn these days. And it irritates me no end that I've heard more than once now that Ruth Bader Ginsburg came from poverty in Brooklyn to become a Supreme Court justice. She was never in poverty. Neither was Bernie Sanders, who also went to my high school. I heard that he grew up in a tenement in my neighborhood. There were no tenements in my neighborhood. It was mostly single-family homes or two-family homes on tree-lined streets. And there were apartment houses, certainly along King's Highway. There were plenty of apartments and Ocean Avenue and Ocean Parkway. But they were beautiful pre-war buildings with big rooms and spacious apartments and lots of windows. They were hardly tenements. So that's it. Everybody should know Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I don't know what her parents did. I don't know what Bernie's parents did for a living, but they had to be able to afford to live in the neighborhood, whatever they did. And it was not an inexpensive neighborhood, even back then. They're both older than I am, but The neighborhood has been beautiful since the 20s when it was built up.
I think I think newspapers and media used the word that word. I think when they both talked about their backgrounds, they talked about their parents, their father working, and that you know, they didn't have, like Bernie Sanders, he didn't have his own bedroom. He did share a bedroom and stuff like that. And I think the media expounds and takes over and takes off on that sometimes.
He shared a bedroom. This is such a poor person thing.
Well, no, but if you mention that nowadays, people immediately think, oh, you know, because you shared a bedroom. I shared a bedroom. We had a beautiful.
I'm sorry. In Sharon, they think that. In Brooklyn, they don't think that.
You know,
only two people in the bedroom.
There were four people. There were four people in my bedroom. We had bunk beds.
I had my own bedroom. And my sister had her own bedroom. And my parents had their own bedroom, which was bigger than ours. And we had two bathrooms in our apartment. And we were the poor people in the neighborhood. I mean, down the street from us, they had these enormous houses. And on Bedford Avenue, across the street from James Madison High School, on Bedford Avenue, they go for millions of dollars these days. And there's a lot, and there are luxury mid-sized buildings going up, meaning, you know, six-story apartment houses with terraces. It was never a poor neighborhood. It was built as a middle-class neighborhood in the 1920s and continues to whatever. And by the way, I mean, James Madison High School produced an enormous number of accomplished people. We have something called the Wall of Distinction, which I'm very proud to say I am on. But there's also Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Carole King, Bernie Sanders, Chuck Schumer, several Nobel Prize winners. An impoverished neighborhood doesn't produce that many accomplished people.
You know what Donald Trump would say about that list? Losers.
Well, Donald Trump went to military school because he was his mother couldn't control him.
That's right. Anyway.
So they say, and she says she was relieved when Donald went off to school, as one can imagine.
I made my high school's wall of extinction, not distinction.
Well, I was very proud of that, and I must say, the one person on the wall that I'm not proud of, although Bob would argue about this one, is Judge Judy went to James Madison High School also.
I'm on your
and
side.
I don't love Judge Judy.
I'm on your
and
side.
And the alumni committee, when they honored me, this is several years ago already, when they honored me, they told me their Judge Judy story, which was not a pretty story.
All right, Arthur.
I'm not going to give you the details, horrific details, but she was not nice.
All right. Well, on that note.
Yeah, on that note.
Go forth and cook.
Let us go have some anxiety food.
That's right. Okay, Arthur.
For those of us who deal with anxiety by eating.
That's exactly right.
Many of us do.
All right, Arthur.
All right. Have a great week, everybody. And Happy New Year
to all
my Jewish friends.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com. On the web.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.